A weak solidarity Bricky team listener when the United States maintained its impotence and collaboration by continuing to arm the Israeli killing machine while calling vainly for humanitarian corridors to be opened for its weapons not to kill and maim quite as many people, and highlighting its weakness by undertaking construction of a port to import aid rather than telling its ally and close friend to get stuffed. Even aid being delivered from the port will be subject to Israeli agreement to military approval, which most often means military refusal. Joe Biden said Netanyahu was doing more harm than good to Israel's reputation, although those not sycophantically collaborating might suggest he, Netanyahu, is simply confirming Israel's reputation. And true to form, take your orders, within a day of Biden's comment, Australia's Penny Wong mimed the same words, agreeing Netanyahu was doing more harm than good, but still maintaining our ban on funds for UNRWA based on Israeli allegations, for which it has never produced the proof it claims to have. Then to compound the collaboration and cruelty on those who do manage to escape, we cancel visas mainstream, leaving desperate people in limbo. Compassion with a capital C, C-R-U-E-L-T-Y. A week when Penny, who remind me, Annie, to give an in-depth coverage of the most critical event in the world this week, a doctored photo by His Most Gracious Majesty's home country's biggest doll-bludging family. We'll come to that. When Penny put Malayan Supremo Anwar in his place, when at the end of the ASEAN Talkfest, he urged True Blue Aussie and other neighbours to be independent and not be simple puppets of the US, of the UN, of the US, of the world. It's all right for you, she chided him. You're independent, but we are not independent. Indeed, surely it's time we faced reality and replaced the Union Jack in the True Blue Aussie flag with the stars and stripes, or perhaps an artistic collage, a duotone of the two with a big F for Focus, which they're certainly doing. Although shame on those myopic peaceniks celebrating the US OVS cutting back its nuclear submarine killer program, who suggest this might threaten Focus at 38 million a day and growing, ever eventuating. Thankfully, responsible people like our Minister for Being Offensive and Trained Killing, Richard Malls the Bad Guys, and Big Supremo Anthony Albanese and Penny Left Wing, assure us the 30-year cash splash will definitely proceed. After all, how can we have the peace activists desire, if we don't spend trillions on things that kill people? Unless no country anywhere spent anything, or in other words, conversely, all countries spent nothing on things that kill people. But how unfair. That would put thousands of workers out of work and the merchants of death corporations out of business. All those workers might have to build things that don't kill people. It's too depressing to think about. While it's important to spend that 38 mil a day and growing for what big spending merchants of death program has ever come in on budget, which was a guess in the first place, 38 mil a day for 30 years, and while we can afford it, big economic guru Jim Chalmers' capital told a big gathering of the filthy rich what we can't afford, that the budget would be a victim of falling taxes from the resource sector, less to spend on non-essentials like public housing, transport, health, welfare, education, which must have broken the hearts of the filthy rich, who must have also wondered who the hell in the room was paying taxes in the first place. But thankfully, the belt tightening is not so stringent to prevent finding a little for real national needs. So while the homeless, for instance, enjoy life in the little gutters before being donned, doll bludgers enjoy the pleasures of extreme poverty, a poverty we can't possibly afford to address, at least the government managed to scrape up $840 million to help the filthiest rich of the filthy rich, Gina. Let's say that again, because how can satire compete? The government, amid desperate needs in public services, is handing $840 million to Gina to develop a rare earths mine and refinery in the Northern Territory. Anthony Albanese said the grant would create jobs and economic opportunity, the latter presumably an opportunity for the richest Trublawassee to get even filthier richer at public expense. Apparently it would be unfair for Gina to finance her own get-rich-quick schemes, reach into her own deep, deep, deep pockets. And the homeless, the unemployed, kids in rundown public schools, overstretched public hospitals, inadequate public transport, will know we'll all be better off thanks to Gina's economic opportunity, thanks to the public purse. Not that life isn't tough for the filthy rich, as it was reported. Many of our cherished great corporate citizens are concerned that as people struggle with the cost of living problem, and don't forget, Jim Chalmers' Capital knows, people are doing it tough. As people struggle, they might think the massive profits the great corporations are making could lead them to think there just might be the odd bit of inequality in our society. As if. Who would contemplate such perfidious thoughts? No, no, I can hear the homeless, the unemployed, those doing it tough, declaring, have you heard the exciting news for all of us, the great corporations are making record super-duper profits. In no time, the yellow liquid will trickle down on all of us. Ecstasy in the gutters, but not in the bowels of the earth, where yet another worker died, and as we record this, another is fighting for his life. A mine closed 2 years ago for several weeks over safety concerns. Owners being sued for unpaid rehabilitation fees. The new owners who took over when the original owner went into liquidation to avoid all sorts of responsibilities, telling us how much it cares about safety. Must be why it sacked, or sorry, sadly had to let go, the safety officer. And let's point out, we have had industrial manslaughter laws for some years now, and thankfully, despite all the workers' deaths in that time, not one caring employer has yet seen inside of a cell. Some laws are there to be broken. In fact, the government is making it easier for the fossil behemoths to contribute to Anthony Albanese's economic opportunity. No, no, first let's look at the context. Recent headline in the Spencer Street, no longer Spencer Street, Falfax, records are being broken globally, so what on earth is happening to the weather? Pretty sure, pretty redundant question we might have thought, but the government is making sure what on earth keeps happening. It is speeding up the approval processes for new fossils, ensuring anti-progress issues like environmental destruction, the frying of the planet, the end of the world as we know it, and that biggest impediment to progress of all, indigenous myths and superstition, don't interfere with the real world of profit, 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 and men and a few women in suits doing their bit for humanity around their boardroom tables. True to form, the bloody Greens reckon the pollution that will generate will overwhelm any reductions from the vehicle emission standards about which the government is boasting. But good news also on that front. The government's got that one covered as well, following complaints that catching up with countries that have had these standards for 50 years is going too fast. Pollution Minister Chris Bowen to Capital is Bowen to Capital and will water down the proposal. Another contribution to what on earth is happening. Not suggesting the odd irony, but the changes to speed up the fossil approval process are amendments to the, wait for it, to the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act. George Orwell bleed. The fossil polluters must be laughing all the way too. And just for the record, it's like a broken record. Our old mate Meg O'Neill before Proppets, a big polluter, would side with Proppets, told us yet again the only way to address gas pollution is more and more gas pollution. And our very favourite repository of objectivity and balance, the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin, exposed those indigenous myths and superstitions that so attempt to block progress with its P1 screaming headline, Road to Ruin, Deadly Highway Upgrade in Doubt Due to Stalled Aboriginal Heritage Review. See, Lord Rupert knows it's all myth and superstition, as it builds up to Easter when it will tell us the product of a virgin birth rising from the dead is not a myth or superstition. Caring hospitality giant Merivale, run by a bloke called Justin Hems, both real names, settled an underpayment class action for $18 million over allegations it underpaid workers by $129 million. As we see it, a small $111 million win for Justin, explaining Merivale. The merry bit for Justin and the valet your money bit for the workers, especially as lawyers will carve off a huge slice of the 18 mil. Oh, and caring employers said they supported the case for a pay rise for aged care workers. They deserve more, they said. Now, I would have thought they could have solved that concern pretty easily. Just pay them more. Finally, the biggest story of the week, this photo controversy involving His Most Gracious Majesty's home country's biggest doll-bludging family. First, sorry, what's that, Annie? Time's up. But my deep analysis. Oh, dear, sorry, listener, you must be so disappointed. Good morning.